May it please the court, I'm Andrea Blanchett, registration number 38196, and I'm here representing Michelle Anton, who is the appellant in this case. This case is actually very simple. It involves a car accident that happened on January 23rd, 2006. Mrs. Anton was parked behind another vehicle that was driven by Mr. Martin Netchart. He got impatient with the construction ahead of him, backed his vehicle into Mrs. Anton's car, pushed it a little some distance, and then the case evolves from there as to what her injuries were following that accident. At the trial in this case, it was absolutely undisputed that Mrs. Anton suffered injuries from this car accident. The nature and extent of the injuries was disputed. However, the defendant's own expert, Dr. Davis, agreed that she had suffered injuries that would have caused her pain and discomfort following this accident and as a result of this accident. There was also testimony from Mrs. Anton herself regarding the pain she had suffered from her neurologist, Dr. Heyman, about the pain she had suffered as a result of migraines that she received or would get after the collision. Dr. Feldman, also who was an expert we had hired, also testified about the pain that she would suffer following the accident. And unfortunately, when the time came for the jury to deliberate, they determined that she had suffered $5,000 worth of economic damages and awarded her nothing for non-economic damages, despite the fact that every expert had testified she had suffered pain and suffering as a result of this collision, including the defendants.
The defendant's expert testify that she suffered pain and suffering or that she experienced discomfort for 6 to 12 weeks? That was...
As I recall, Your Honor, he testified that she did suffer injuries that would have caused her pain and discomfort.
And is your position, therefore, by virtue of that fact, she is entitled as a matter of law to some amount of non-economic damages?
Yes and no. My position is that because it's uncontroverted that she had pain and suffering, she should get non-economic damages. There are several cases that speak to this, and if I may, Your Honor, I'll kind of address each of those in turn. The first case, of course, is Steele versus Law, which is 78 P. 2nd, 1124, Colorado Court of Appeals, 2003. Now, this case, there was a very specific explanation of the type of pain that the plaintiff in that case would have suffered, and it was likened to the pain someone would have suffered if they were normally sedentary and had gotten up and started raking leaves. There was no such classification of the type of pain that Mrs. Anton would have suffered in our case. In fact, in our case, it was simply she would have had pain following due to the injury she received in this accident, which distinguishes this case from the Steele case. And when you move forward through the cases and you move to Lee's Mobile Wash versus Campbell, which is 853 P. 2nd, 1140-1993, that case talks about I lost my train of thought for a second, that injuries could be de minimis, and the Steele case also talks about de minimis and that the jury could determine that her injuries were just not enough that entitled her to pain and suffering. Again, there was no testimony whatsoever that this would have been minor or she wouldn't have really felt bad or it was kind of like a cold or it was kind of like raking leaves. It was she had pain, period. She had injuries, period. And if you go even further, all the way through Peterson versus Tandolini, which is 97 P. 3rd, 359, Court of Appeals, 2004, this court actually makes it pretty clear that if there is no dispute as to the fact that the plaintiff received injuries in an accident, she is entitled to non-economic damages.
Have that here.
Yes, Your Honor. Both plaintiffs' experts and defendants' experts testified that she had injuries. Now, the nature and extent of the injuries is disputed, but there's no doubt whatsoever and no dispute whatsoever that she did, in fact, sustain injuries that would have caused her pain.
they're not conflicting evidence, though, about the cause of her pain or the cause of her injury? Wasn't there evidence that she told the police officer she wasn't hurt?
Yes, Your Honor, but there was also evidence that that's not unusual.
Okay.
For someone immediately after a car accident to claim to be non-injured, and that they often will then realize that they are hurt.
There's also evidence that she had been injured in a prior accident, that she had maybe suffered some injury there.
Yes, Your Honor.
She testified she had a concussion, but someone said she didn't have a concussion.
That's correct.
So there was conflicting evidence on her injuries that the jury would have to weigh and parse out, wasn't there?
Well, Your Honor, like I said, the nature and extent of her injuries was disputed, but the fact that she sustained injuries because of this accident was not disputed.
She said she wasn't, excuse me, Jessica, go ahead. If she said she was not injured, isn't that evidence that the jury can consider?
Your Honor,
I understand you have an explanation for it that she offered, but can't the jury accept that?
They could have accepted it, except, like I said, all of the doctors testified that she had injuries. And a police officer's testimony that she said 2 minutes after an accident that she was not injured, clearly ignores the weight of the evidence from the medical experts, including defendant's expert who said she was injured.
I'm having trouble. That's how you distinguish this case from Lee's Mobile Wash. The jury verdict form here was almost identical to the jury verdict form there. Same kind of situation. Why is this case any different from that?
Well,
where our court got reversed for reversing the denial of a new jury.
In Lee's Mobile Wash, there was a dispute as to whether or not she had sustained any injuries, or the plaintiff in that case was a man. There was a dispute as to whether or not there were any injuries caused by the collision. There is not the same dispute in this case.
The Supreme Court wrote, the extent and nature of Campbell's brain injury, the extent and nature of the injury, was hotly disputed at trial. That's what you're saying was the situation here, wasn't it?
Your Honor, I'm saying that some of the injuries were disputed. However, their expert and our expert and everyone else that testified, with the exception of the police officer, agreed that she had, in fact, sustained neck and back injuries. The fact that there were additional injuries beyond that were disputed does not negate the fact that there are some injuries that were undisputed.
And in Lee's Mobile Wash, petitioner's expert witness, and petitioner here was the defendant below.
Correct.
Petitioner's expert witness testified that the plaintiff had some minor, mild brain impairment, and then he explained what it was. And because he scored a perfect score, the jury could reasonably have concluded that the impairment due to the accident was de minimis, which is what you said. Why can't that have been the same situation here? I guess, how is this any different
because
than that
there was
set of facts?
I apologize for speaking over you, Your Honor. There was no testimony whatsoever that her pain and suffering was de minimis or minor in any way whatsoever.
Well, I don't think there was to read it. That was the court's conclusion. I don't think the psychiatrist said that, but they said the jury could have reached that conclusion. And here the expert for the defendant testified that there was some injury, which is, I guess, what you're saying also happened in this case.
Correct.
So I'm just having trouble.
Well, like I said, as you move forward through the cases, and when you get to Peterson, the court clarifies that if there is undisputed evidence that the plaintiff sustained some injury, she is entitled to pain and suffering. They specifically clarified the Lee's Mobile Wash decision. And, you know, my point here is really very direct, and I'm trying not to make it more complicated than it sounds, because it can get that way very easily. But the fact of the matter is, she was hurt, and everybody agrees she was hurt. The jury, and with all credit to defense counsel, he did a great job of making the jury hate my client. He did a fabulous job. And when it came down to the jury, they made it very obvious they didn't like her. But that is not a reasonable basis for their verdict. When there is undisputed evidence that she received an injury, she's entitled to some sort of pain and suffering damages.
What were the economic damages for, specifically?
Well, they awarded her $5,000, which was for medical bills. Mm-hmm. That she had additional medical bills, but that's not really an issue in the appeal, but it made sense why they did not order additional medical bills, because they clearly decided that part of the injuries were related and part of them were not, but then simply chose not to award her anything for pain and suffering. And unless you have some additional questions, I'd like to reserve the last 5 minutes for rebuttal. Okay, thank you.
Good afternoon, and may it please the court. My name is Ben Wagner, attorney registration number 36952. I'm here today on behalf of the appellee, Martin Etchart. If I could just kind of jump in and kind of pick up with some of the things that Ms. Blance was talking about, and there was some discussion as to whether or not exactly what Dr. Davis testified to. And if I could, his testimony in the record was not that she incurred pain because of the strains, he said, she likely incurred into her neck, back, soft tissue type of injuries. But rather, he said, in my opinion, to a reasonable degree of medical probability, some of these were not causally related to the accident, her degenerative disc disease, arthritis, he's talking about. And then he started talking about soft tissue injuries usually heal. They resolve in a period of 6 to 12 weeks. So I can understand the discomfort she experienced immediately following the accident, even up to 3 months beyond. He doesn't say pain, or that there was kind of pain. He talks about discomfort. And this gets you to the Lee's Mobile Wash case and to the Steele v. Law case that talks about these de minimis type of injuries, this ongoing while somebody may experience some discomfort, those kind of issues are so low that they're uncompensable. And that's exactly what happened in this case. You have a situation where Ms. Anton made a number of allegations, a number of injuries. She said she had neck and back injuries. As a result of the accident, she claimed to have a concussion that developed into post-concussive syndrome that led to her falling and breaking wrists, increasing aggravation in her back because of these falls. And the testimony provided by her experts, by the defense experts, was that Ms. Anton had a number of pre-existing injuries and conditions, including degenerative disc disease, arthritis, particularly in her neck and low back, that those conditions cause a person to have pain, and that those conditions aren't causally related to this accident. Dr. Davis testified that you have a situation here that she sustained a soft tissue type of injury, a strain to her neck, back, those kind of areas, and that he would expect those type of injuries to resolve themselves within, he said 6 to 12 weeks, I believe, so a month and a half to 3 months after the accident.
So is it fair to say he did testify that she perhaps suffered an injury, the injury resulted in discomfort, but the discomfort would have resolved itself in 6 to 12 weeks? Is that a fair summary of what you're saying he said?
Yes and no. actually, what Dr. Davis testified to is that she likely sustained a strain type of injury, and that strain type of injury may have resulted in discomfort that should have resolved itself if she experienced it within the 6 to 12 week time frame.
What's the difference between discomfort and pain?
Well, I think discomfort is something that a lot of people deal with every type of day, minor arthritis type of issues. The person who tweaks their back, raking leaves out in the yard or doing yard work, they have to live with a sore back, maybe sore muscles for a little while, but then it resolves itself, it goes away. It's a certain level, discomfort's a certain level of, and I don't want to say pain because I don't think it is, but just kind of uneasiness that you have after normal everyday wear and tear activities that you do.
Discomfort could be a basis for a non-economic award of non-economic damages, could it not?
Yes, it could. If I would agree with that, if she didn't also have the pre-existing conditions that she had, the prior back injuries, the prior back pain, because what you have is a situation here where she, for years before the accident, she was going to see Dr. Lewis Winkler in Montrose with complaints of chronic back pain. She said she had neck pain, shoulder pain, wrist pain. She was dealing with issues of fatigue, memory concentration, those kind of things that she was dealing with, maybe from a prior accident, from wear and tear of life, I don't know, arthritis or degenerative disc disease, all those types of things. And then she's in this accident, and that discomfort that she could have possibly had afterward may not have been reached itself to a level where the jury could say, yeah, we can see where she was injured on top of those prior conditions, so we need
to... She put on testimony that it was causally related?
What's that?
Did the plaintiff put on testimony that the discomfort was causally related to the accident? I assume she did.
She testified that to herself.
And your experts testified that they found no causal relation between the discomfort and the accident?
No, what Dr. Davis testified to is that she likely sustained a strain in the accident and that he can understand where she might have had some discomfort. Discomfort being the operative word, not pain, but discomfort. Again, the discomfort that I think a lot of people have in normal everyday life that ordinarily isn't compensable, but you know, it's...
Let me ask a question. You've talked a couple times in response to our questions about what discomfort is. Is that based on evidence that was in the record? Is that based on case law? Or is that you're just doing your best to answer our questions?
I'm sorry, I'm not sure exactly what you're asking, but...
Describe what discomfort is, and you equated it to raking leaves, and I think you used arthritis. And was there evidence distinguishing between discomfort and pain at the trial, or is there case law that distinguishes between discomfort and pain that's been cited?
At the trial court level, I don't think there was any evidence put on with respect to what this discomfort would have been, nor is there, I don't think, a case law that defines discomfort versus pain, but that is what Dr. Davis testified to is discomfort, and that's what the jury heard him testify to, and that's important. I raise that because it's important because the cases that would reverse this case and remand it back to trial, the Peterson v. Tandolini case and the Martinez v. Chaplin case, those are situations where someone, the Peterson case particularly, where a young lady was hit in a crosswalk by a car, sustained a fracture to her back that caused her to be in a body cast after surgery for a long period of time. Distinct immediate pain at the scene of the accident that she had to go through. The Martinez case, a situation where someone ran a stop sign and broadside of the plaintiff's car, and testimony that her jaw hit the windshield and broke, or it caused her a TMJ type of injury. And in that case, the defense expert actually said that it wasn't a TMJ type of injury, but rather a neck injury that caused her pain every time she would move her jaw. That's different than this case because one, in Martinez, they use the term pain. Here we use discomfort. And two, there's no evidence from the Martinez case, and for that matter, even the Peterson case, that the plaintiffs in that case suffered from any pre-existing conditions or injuries in that location where they had prior pain in that area, that the jury would have had to parse out and separate from, okay, what pain did she have beforehand, what pain did she have after the accident, and is that compensable? Here the jury was instructed on that, and they had all the evidence presented, and they obviously determined that her pain was either so de minimis it wasn't compensable, or that she failed to meet her burden of proof on that issue.
So, I'll ask your counterpart to distinguish the Lee's a mobile wash case as succinctly as you can. Distinguish for me this case from the Peterson case, given what we now know about the defense expert talking about an injury and
this case is distinguishable from the Peterson case for what I just kind of mentioned. You had a situation in Peterson where an individual was injured, hit in a crosswalk by a car, sustained a fracture of her back, I believe, underwent surgery, and was in a body cast for 6 to 7 weeks. Testimony that she had immediate and very bad pain at the scene of the accident. Here, Miss Anton was involved in the accident, told both Martin Etchart and his son George Etchart at the scene she wasn't in any pain, that she was okay. The police officer, Officer Shane Smalls, if you look at his testimony, I believe, didn't respond to the accident for a half hour or so. There was a big gap of time. When he got there, Ms. Anton also reported no injuries, and he indicated that on his police report it was a non-injury type of accident. Ms. Anton didn't undergo any surgery. She didn't have any fractures. We're talking about a soft tissue type of injury, unlike the injury in Peterson. And these soft tissue type of injuries are injuries that I would think most people experience on a day-to-day basis. Like we're talking in the Steele case, where the defense expert likens it to somebody raking leaves. And in that case, what's even particularly helpful, I think, is in Steele, they talk about a person who gets a strain type of injury, and those injuries resolve within a year as being non-economic damages, as being uncompensable, economic damages being uncompensable. Here, we have a situation where the injury occurred, and the testimony from Dr. Davis is that the strain, if she had one, would have resolved within 6 to 12 weeks, which is far less time than the time frame indicated in Steele.
Argue to the jury that her discomfort was not caused by the accident, or her pain that you reported in her back or neck was not caused by the accident. Did you argue lack of causation?
Yes. I contested everything right. With respect to her pain.
All right. And the jury was instructed they had to find that there was a causal connection between the accident and the injuries, I assume, right?
Correct.
So I'm a little confused then about their answer to question two, because it says the verdict. Were the actions of the defendant the cause of the plaintiff's injuries, damages, or loss? And they say yes. Now, I guess what they could have meant there was, yes, they caused damage to her car. That was the $5,000 amount to her car was also contested, right?
That was never raised in the at the trial level.
It was never raised trial level? But
not the damage to the car wasn't an element of the damages that Ms. Anton was claiming.
But they did enter a verdict for $5,000 for economic loss.
And I'm not sure what that economic loss can be. They didn't parse it out between medical bills.
Okay.
They didn't parse it out between lost wages. They didn't parse it out between future lost wages.
So when they said that there was that the accident caused her injuries, damage, or loss, it could have been the economic loss, not the non-economic loss. Because I can't make a connection between their finding of causation and their zero on non-economic.
Well, I think the key is that the jury can find that she sustained damage in the accident, whether it be people are in accidents, they go to emergency rooms just to check themselves out. They might have some follow-up visits with the chiropractor because they're feeling sore. The key is whether or not these damages or the non-economic damages, pain and suffering, an impairment to the quality of life, inconvenience, those type of damages, whether or not those are they rise to the nature or to the level of being compensable. And here the jury determined that they weren't compensable. And I think what's important is for the jury anyway, is looking at what Ms. Anton was living with before the accident, degenerative disc disease, arthritis, going to a doctor complaining of chronic back pain and those types of things. She indicated that she was out of work for a while before the accident because of those prior injuries and that pain. And so the jury had asked themselves, does this injury, the strain that Dr. Davis said that she have, rise to the level to be able to award her something for pain and suffering? And I don't think they found it. And what is particularly helpful, I think, too, is that you have in November of 2008, Ms. Anton going to a physician, Dr. Dwyer, and his medical record indicates that she's having back pain at that time because of a fall she sustained after this accident. And so she's not even relating pain, after the accident to the accident, but to something else, a fall that her doctor, Dr. Michael Heeman, said wouldn't be related to any injury she sustained in the accident, which the defense neurologist, Dr. Jane Burnham, also agreed with.
All from
no, that's a different fall. So there's a fall where she tripped over her dog, or said she tripped, informed a ER physician and an ER nurse, and then a Dr. Dwyer, that she tripped over her dog and broke her wrist, which she claimed developed into complex regional pain syndrome. And there was a fall where she indicated that she fell on some hospital stairs when she was at the hospital and hurt her back. And the question, one of the questions or issues that was contested at trial, is whether or not those falls were related to an injury in the accident, concussion, post-concussive syndrome, those type of things. So I guess in kind of summary, since I'm running out of time, I think what's important to note is the progression of Ms. Anton's physical condition up until the time of trial. Number of pre-existing injuries, number of pain complaints, noted off of work for a while, told her Dr. Winkler that she was having problems with activities, you know, sleeping, things people do because of the pain, that those were increasing, and you have a strain because of an accident. And the jury had to look at all this stuff and decide whether or not that rose to a level of compensable damages. And by their award of zero, they decided that it didn't. And therefore, we would ask that this court affirm the trial court's decision denying the motion for a new trial and affirming the jury's verdict. Thank you.
5 minutes left.
Boy, I timed that pretty good, didn't I? Okay, there's just a couple of points that I wanted to run through. First of all, I'm a little bit disturbed by the fact that defense counsel is arguing that there's some sort of requirement that there be pain at the scene of an accident in order for it to be compensable in a trial. And that is clearly not true. And I think it's misleading to the court.
Probative, though, is certainly relevant to whether...
It could be relevant to whether or not there's pain at that time. But I've been in my own accidents, and I didn't feel the pain until 2 or 3 days later.
Felt pain, relevant to whether...
If she had felt pain,
however... Didn't feel pain, wouldn't it still be relevant?
Yes, Your Honor. However, the point
couldn't
in
the
this
jury
case,
take that into account?
Of course. But in this case... There is undisputed testimony that she had, and I apologize, apparently I mistermed it, that she had discomfort. There was no clarification as to what discomfort might mean. However, it certainly indicates that she's not sitting in a chair without any kind of problem whatsoever.
That's why I asked initially whether it was your position that she's entitled as a matter of law to damages when she has experienced discomfort.
When there is undisputed evidence.
Yeah, no, that's what
I'm
saying.
Yes, Your Honor.
She is, as a matter of law.
Yes, Your Honor. Now, the other concern that I had is there's a lot of testimony regarding her pre-existing injuries. One thing I want to clarify for the court is that the pre-existing injuries hadn't been treated for over 2 years at the time of this accident. So it's not something she's dealing with or had been treating for at this particular time. But as we all know, you take the plaintiff as you find them. Just because she has pre-existing injuries doesn't mean that the jury gets to say, oh, it's pre-existing and we don't want to take the time to figure out what's related to this accident or not. The fact is, there's undisputed testimony that she had injuries caused by this accident, and that she had, at minimum, discomfort due to those injuries. She's entitled to be compensated for that. The jury doesn't get to be lazy, and the jury doesn't get to look at her and say, you know what, I don't like you very much.
So try again.
Pardon me, John?
Let me try this again. In
okay.
Lee's Mobile Wash,
yes,
the defendant's expert testified that the plaintiff, as a result of the accident, suffered minor to mild brain impairment from the accident, that the brain impairment caused possibly unconsciousness or post-traumatic amnesia lasting between 30 minutes and 24 hours. That was the defense expert's testimony in that case. The jury awarded no damages, and the court said the jury could conclude that the impairment was de minimis. I don't see how this fact pattern is much different from that one.
Yeah, there was no testimony as to whether it was minor or minimal in any way whatsoever. In this case, the testimony was, yeah, she had injuries.
Discomfort.
No, Your Honor, the testimony was first, she had injuries. Then, those injuries would have caused her discomfort. Now, what discomfort means is difficult. it certainly means that there's no that it certainly does not mean that there's no problem and that she's not suffering in some way because of these injuries.
When the expert testified that she had discomfort, did you ask the expert to clarify what was meant by the word discomfort?
To be honest, Your Honor, I don't remember. I seem to recall what I did, but hindsight's always 20/20, and I really don't remember. I'd have to go back and look at the record, which would take us far too long. When Mr. Wegner was distinguishing the Martinez case and the Peterson case, I found it interesting that his comments seemed to indicate that if the accident's bad enough, then sure, there's probably pain. That's not the standard for awarding pain and suffering or any non-economic damages in a personal injury case. The question is, was there non-economic damages? Pain, suffering, loss of quality of life, those types of things. In this case, again, it was undisputed that she had injuries. She had discomfort.
Your assertion that it was undisputed based entirely on the testimony from Dr. Davis, is it you saying that's what creates the lack of dispute? Or is there any other witness that the defendants put on that also supported your assertion that there was pain or discomfort?
No, Dr. Davis was pretty clear that.
So that's the one, that's the person whose testimony we need to look at if we're reviewing the record.
Yes. Okay. Yes, and there were multiple witnesses of plaintiffs before that, of course. But yes, Dr. Davis is the one you need to look at. And if there's nothing further, I ask that the court remand the case to the trial court level. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Both for fine arguments. Case stands submitted, and an opinion will issue in due course.